بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والى وبعد. قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى: الثالثة أن من أطاع الرسول ووحد الله لا يجوز له موالاة من هادى الله ورسوله ولو كان أقرب قريب. والدليل قوله تعالى: لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من هادى الله ورسوله. الآية.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع هداه، أما بعد، فبعد أن بين رحمه الله تعالى المسألة الأولى في تحقيق الطاعة لله وطاعة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
So after the author رحمه الله تعالى explained the first issue, and that is the actualization of ta'a and obedience to Allah and ta'a to His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ثم المسألة الثانية بين فيها وجوب توحيد الله عز وجل وأن الله لا يرضى الشرك.
And then the second issue, and that is that Allah عز وجل explained and clarified the affair of the tawheed of Allah عز وجل, and that Allah عز وجل is not pleased with shirk.
بين أن من مسائل أو من المسائل المهمة المتعلقة بالتوحيد مسألة الولاء والبراء.
He then mentioned an important issue related to tawheed, and that is the مسألة or the issue of الولاء and البراء, and that is allegiance and disavowal for the sake of Allah.
والولاء والبراء هو بمعنى الحب في الله والبغض في الله.
And الولاء والبراء in essence returns back to the meanings of love for the sake of Allah and hatred for the sake of Allah.
وهو أصل من أصول الإسلام.
And it is without doubt an origin from the أصول of Islam.
دلت عليه آيات كثيرة، حديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كثيرة أيضا.
And there are many آيات that indicate it and many أحاديث that point towards it likewise.
مثل قوله سبحانه وتعالى في الآية التي ذكرها: لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله، بمعنى أنك لا تجد قوما كاملي الإيمان يصرفون محبتهم وولاءهم لأهل الكفر.
And so he mentioned an evidence or from the examples of the ayat or the verses that indicate this affair of al-wala wal-bara is this ayah here, that you will not find a people loving or who believe in Allah Azza wa Jalla and the last day having love for those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. And that is to say that you will not find those who are kamili al-iman, or those who have complete iman, or those who are full of iman, or yani have good strong iman, that they have allegiance for those who have been described in the verse, yani those who oppose Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger.
وفي حديث أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أن العبد والمرأة لا يجد حلاوة الإيمان وطعمه حتى يحب المرء لا يحبه إلا لله.
And similarly, Allah Azza, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as occurs in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, he explained the fact that a person will not taste the sweetness of iman until he loves a person, not loving him except for the sake of Allah.
لذلك يقول ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما: من أحب في الله وأبغض في الله ووالى في الله وعادى في الله فإنما تنال ولاية الله بذلك.
And for that reason, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he said, whomsoever loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah, has allegiance for the sake of Allah and disavowal for the sake of Allah, then he will obtain the allegiance of Allah by way of that.
يقول: ولن يجد عبد طعم الإيمان وإن كثرت صلاته وصومه حتى يكون كذلك.
And he said that the servant will not taste the sweetness of iman, regardless of how plentiful his prayer and fasting is except by way of this.
ثم قال وقد صارت مؤاخاة أو عامة مؤاخاة الناس على أمر الدنيا وذلك لا يجدي أي لا ينفع على أهله شيئا.
And so the majority, he continues, the majority of the avowal and disallegiance of the people return back to affairs of the dunya, and that will not benefit the one who does that at all.
وكما ذكر الشيخ في تعريف الإسلام على ما سيأتي أنه الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة من الشرك وأهله وهذه المسألة الثالثة.
And just as the Sheikh has mentioned, and it's something that will come in the definition of Islam, he said that it is al-istislam lillahi bit-tawheed, that is, it is submission to Allah in tawheed, and it is compliance to Him in obedience, and it is that a person is free of shirk and its people. And that is something that will come when we discuss the third issue.
لذلك لما ذكر الله عز وجل إبراهيم ذكر براءته من الشرك ومن أهل الشرك.
And for that reason, when Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned Ibrahim, He mentioned his disavowal for shirk and the people of shirk.
إننا براء أو إننا براء منكم ومما تعبدون من دون الله.
When he said that indeed we are free of you and of that which you worship besides Allah.
والموالاة يختلف حكمها بحسب نوعها.
And this allegiance or this muwalat differs in relation to its ruling in relation to what it is connected to.
فليست هي كفرا على الإطلاق وليست هي معصية أو دون الكفر على الإطلاق.
And so it is not considered kufr absolutely, neither is it considered sin absolutely.
فالموالاة على نوعين.
And so muwalat is of two types. This allegiance is of two types.
يقول أهل العلم إما تولي أو موالات.
So we have either what is known as التولي or we have الموالات.
أما التولي فمعناه محبة الكفر وأهل الشرك يحبهم لشركهم ولكفرهم ويتمنى ظهور الكفر فهذا كفر أكبر.
As far as the first, then at-tawalli, then it is to love the people of shirk because of their shirk and their kufr, and to have allegiance for them due to that, and to wish and desire that the people of shirk overpower and overcome the people of iman. This is kufrun akbar, and it exits a person from Islam. Major kufr exiting a person from Islam.
وهذا الذي يقول عنه الله عز وجل وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ.
And this is what Allah Azza wa Jal says when He mentioned and whomsoever يَتَوَلَّهُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ, whomsoever has this tawalli for them, then he is from them.
وَأَمَّا النَّوْعُ الثَّانِي وَهُوَ الْمُوَالَاتِ فَهُوَ مَحَبَّتُهُمْ لِأَجْلِ الدُّنْيَا.
And as for the second category then, which is muwalat, then it is to have love for them because of a dunyawi affair, a worldly affair.
من غير إرادة نصرة الكفر وظهور شعائر الكفر بل يحب الإسلام وظهور الإسلام لكنه يتولاهم لأمر الدنيا.
And so it doesn't have with it, it's not coupled with a love for kufr and a love for the kuffar overpowering the Muslimin. It doesn't have that in it, or that element within it, but it does have them having a love for what they have from the dunya.
لكنه مع ذلك فهذا من الكبائر.
And so even though that is the case, it is still considered from the major sins.
وهو الذي يقول الله عز وجل عنه يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء تلقون إليهم بالمودة. ومع هذا وصفهم في أول الآية فقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا.
And that is similar to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, or that is what is indicated by the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, all you who believe, do not take my enemies and your enemies as awliya, as allies, inclining towards them with your love. And so here Allah Azza wa Jal has referred to them as enemies and has referred to this mu'alat, though Allah Azza wa Jal addresses them in the beginning of the verse with Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, or ye who believe.
ولا يدخل في هذا الباب ما أجازه الشرع من احترام العهود والمواثيق والصلح مع الكفار فإن هذا أمر جائز.
But what does not enter into this is honoring and respecting the various agreements and pacts that we may have and covenants that we may have with the non-Muslim. For indeed, this is something that is established and permissible.
وبعضهم يخطئ ويظن أن البغض في الله للكفار معناه ظلمهم أو معناه ظلمهم أو السرقة منهم.
And some of them go as far as to believe, making a great error, grave error, and believe that this affair of having wala and bara, that it necessitates hatred, or that this yani, that it necessitates harming them, or it necessitates oppressing them. And some of them go as far as to say that it permits stealing from them.
بل العدل كما يقول شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى العدل واجب على كل أحد لكل أحد في كل حال.
And just as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he mentions, Al-Adl, justice is wajib upon every individual, towards every individual, in every circumstance.
سواء كان كافرا أو مسلما.
Whether he's a kafir or a Muslim.
ومن صور ذلك ما جاء في قصة إسلام المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه.
An example of that is what occurred in the story of the Islam of مغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله عنه.
فإنه كان في سفر تجارة مع بعض الكفار قبل إسلامه.
Because he was upon a journey that he embarked upon for trade with some of the kuffar before his Islam.
ثم وهو في الطريق أخذ متاعهم وقتلهم ورجع إلى المدينة وأسلم.
And then while he was in the way or on the path, he took their belongings, he stole it, he robbed their belongings from them and then killed them and then went to Medina and embraced.
فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أما إسلامك فقبلناه وأما هذا المال الذي جاء من الغدر وأما هذا المال فلا حاجة لنا به.
So he said, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, as far as your Islam, then we accept that, but as far as this wealth, then we have no need for it.
فالإسلام لا يقبل الغدر ولا الخيانة بل يوجب الوفاء بالعهود والمواثيق وأكبر أهل الغدر والخيانة ممن ينتسب إلى الإسلام في هذا العصر هم خوارج هذا العصر.
And so Islam does not permit خيانة. It doesn't permit being deceptive. It doesn't permit trickery. It doesn't permit deceit. Rather, it calls to honoring contracts and agreements and pacts. And the greatest of those who oppose this in our time are the Khawarij of this time.
فيدخلون في بلدان الكفر ثم بالمواثيق والعهود ثم يبدأون بالغدر وقتل الأبرياء أو التفجير أو الدهس في السيارات أو غير ذلك فإن هذا العمل الإسلام منه بريء.
And so they enter into the lands of the non-Muslim based upon covenants and agreements and pacts. Then once they enter those lands, they break those covenants, they are deceptive in relation to those covenants, and they begin to take life and explode places, yani drive cars into buildings and other than that, from the things that indicate their deception and their trickery, and Islam is free of their actions.
نعم تقل.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين وبذلك أمر الله جميع الناس وخلقهم لها كما قال، كما قال تعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. ومعنى يعبدون يوحدون.
أيوة
واصل. وأعظم ما أمر الله به التوحيد، وهو إفراد الله بالعبادة. وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك، وهو دعوة غيره معه. والدليل قوله تعالى: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا.
انتقل رحمه الله تعالى إلى الحديث عن مقدمة للأصول الثلاثة التي هي مقصد تأليف الكتاب.
Then the author, he said, now may Allah show you mercy that his obedience, oh, may Allah guide you to his obedience, and the true upright religion of Ibrahim is that you are to worship Allah alone, making the religion pure and sincere for him. And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded all of the people with, and it was for this that he created them, just as he said, just as he the Most High stated, I did not create the jinn or mankind except that they worship me. And the meaning of worship me in this verse is that they single out Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship. And the graces of all affairs that Allah Azza wa Jalla have commanded with is Tawheed, and that is to single out Allah Azza wa Jalla with worship. And the greatest of all of the prohibitions is that he has forbidden is shirk, and that is to invoke and supplicate others alongside him. The proof for this is in the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Most High, worship Allah alone and do not associate anything alongside him in worship. And so here he mentions and enters into the main topic of the Usul al-Thalath, or the main topic of the three fundamentals that he wished to discuss.
فبدأ في هذه المقدمة في بيان مختصر لمعنى التوحيد ومعنى الشرك.
And so he entered with this introduction with a summarized clarification of the meanings of Tawheed and the meanings of Shirk.
وبيان معاني التوحيد وفضائله وأنواعه يحتاج إلى محاضرات، وكذلك الشرك وأنواعه يحتاج إلى دروس، لكن سنعرج على شيء من فوائد ذلك.
And the clarification of Tawheed and its type and its various types requires a number of lectures, just as is the case with Shirk and the varying types requires lectures, but we will mention something from an explanation of it.
وهنا بدأ رحمه الله كعادته في كثير من كتبه بهذا الأسلوب الحسن، وفي قوله: اعلم أرشدك الله وأرشدك، أي سددك ووفقك على طريق الرشد، وهو الاستقامة والحق.
And then he began, as he does with all of his authorships, with this compassionate beginning, and that is that he said, اعلم، may Allah know, may Allah Azza wa Jal guide you, and that is, may Allah correct you, may Allah rectify you, and may Allah guide you upon the path of that which is correct. And so here he began by making mention of this, again, this compassionate statement, initial statement.
فقال إن أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم، أي أن الحنيفية، والحنيفية مأخوذة في لغة العرب من الحنف، والحنف معناه الميل، الشيء الحنيف أي الشيء المائل.
And so he mentioned here, he began by saying, know that Hanifiyya, and here this term Hanifiyya is taken from the Arabic term Hanaf. And the term Hanaf is a reference to al-mayl, which is a indication of something that inclines towards something.
والمقصود بالميل هنا الميل عن الشرك إلى توحيد الله.
And what is intended by this mayl, or this inclining towards something, is to mail, or is to incline away from shirk towards tawheed.
وملة إبراهيم هي ملة الأنبياء جميعا.
The path of Ibrahim is the path of all of the prophets.
وإبراهيم عليه السلام تنازعته الطوائف وحاولت أن تنسبها إليه كاليهود والنصارى.
And so Ibrahim, the various groups and parties and denominations, they have struggled concerning the attribution of Ibrahim towards them. Yani they have disputed concerning the attribution of Ibrahim to them.
والله عز وجل ذكر إبراهيم في القرآن في عدد من الأساليب في براءته.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned Ibrahim in the Quran in a number of verses indicating his freeness, يعني from them.
الأول أنه برأه من اليهودية والنصرانية وبين أن دينه هو الإسلام.
And the first is that Allah Azza wa Jalla declared his freeness, him being free from the Christians and the Jews, and explained that his path was the path of a path of Islam.
ما كان إبراهيم يهوديا ولا نصرانيا ولكن كان حنيفا مسلما.
Like the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that indeed Ibrahim was not a Christian or a Jew, but he was hanifan مسلما, يعني he was one that was upon tawheed and Muslim.
النقطة الثانية بين أن أولى الناس أو أن أولى الناس به هم أتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
In the second indication or the second type of verse is the are those verses that indicate that those who have most right to him are the Muslimun, followers of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
وذلك في قوله إن أولى الناس بإبراهيم للذين اتبعوه وهذا النبي والذين آمنوا.
And that is in the light of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that indeed those who have most right to Ibrahim are those who followed him, and those who followed him at his time. وَهَذَا النَّبِي and those who follow and this Nabi. يعني those who have most right are those who followed him and this Nabi. يعني محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
والأسلوب الثالث بل أنه أمر باتباع ملته.
And the third method of speaking concerning Ibrahim in the Quran is that we have been commanded to follow his millah, to follow his way.
ثم أوحينا إليك أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا.
As Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, and then we revealed to you that you should follow the path of Ibrahim, that is Hanif.
الأسلوب الرابع أمر بالتأسي به والاقتداء به.
A fourth type of method of speaking concerning Ibrahim is the command to follow him and to emulate him.
تأسي به في التوحيد والبراءة من الشرك.
To emulate him in relation to tawheed and him being free of shirk.
قد كان لكم أسوة حسنة في إبراهيم والذين معه إذ قالوا لقومهم إنا براء منكم ومما تعبدون من دون الله.
This is Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that indeed you have a goodly example in Ibrahim والذين معه and those who are with him when they said to their people إنا براء, that indeed we are free of you and that which you worship besides Allah.
إلى غير ذلك من الأساليب القرآنية في بيان أن إبراهيم كان على التوحيد.
And other than that, from the various methods of the Quran or the manners in which Allah Azza wa Jalla is established, the fact that Ibrahim was upon tawheed.
فملة إبراهيم وهو إمام الموحدين هي ملة الأنبياء جميعا.
And so the path of Ibrahim, and he's the Imam of the Muwahideen and those who carry out tawheed, then it is the path of all of the prophets and messengers.
وملتهم أن نعبد الله وحده لا شريك له.
And their path was to worship Allah alone, making no shirk with him.
مخلصين له الدين.
Being sincere in one's religion to him.
فعبادة الله لا تكون إلا بالإخلاص.
And the worship of Allah is not possible, it doesn't exist except with إخلاص.
كما قال عز وجل قل إني أمرت أن أعبد الله مخلصا له الدين.
As Allah Azza wa Jalla has said that, say to them, indeed I have been commanded to worship Allah and be sincere in my religion to him.
فعبادة الله سبحانه وتعالى لها أركان لا تتم إلا بها.
And so the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has pillars that are not complete except by a person actualizing them.
فأركانها بالنظر إلى معناها المحبة والذل لله عز وجل.
And so its pillars, and the pillars of Tawheed, if one were to look at its meaning, then the pillars of Ibadah and worship revolve around love and submission. Love and humble submission.
كما قال ابن القيم وعبادة الرحمن غاية حبه مع ذل عابده هما قطبان أي ركنان.
As Imam Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned that Ibadatul Rahman, that the worship of Ar-Rahman is غايه حبه, is that a person has reaches the pinnacle, if you like, of loving him, and similarly having humiliation for him. These two are qutban, these two are the two pivoting points of ibadah.
واركان العباده كذلك بتقسيمه اخرى من حيث ما يقوم بقلب العبد هي ثلاثه اركان.
And in relation to that which is connected to the heart of the servant, then worship is likewise three different pillars or three pillars.
وهي المحبة والخوف والرجاء.
And that is love, fear, and hope.
ويدل على ذلك سورة الفاتحة.
What is indicated or that which indicates that is سورة الفاتحة.
فقوله الحمد لله رب العالمين دليل على المحبة لأنه لا يحمد إلا المحبوب.
So the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, is an indication of mahabba, because one does not praise other than one that is beloved.
الرحمن الرحيم تضمن للرحمة وهو دليل على الرجاء.
And the statement الرحمن الرحيم, يعني الرحمن, the benevolent, the mercy giver, again, this is an indication of the Raja, because we have in it this hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the mercy that is present within those two names have in them hope and Raja.
Maliki yawm al-deen dalilun ala al-khawf.
And Allah Azza wa Jal being Maliki yawm al-deen, the owner of the Day of Judgment, in that is an evidence of fear of Allah Azza wa Jal.
فَلَمَّا ذَكَرَ الْمَحَبَّةَ وَالرَّجَاءَ وَالْخَوْفَ بين أنها هي أركان العبادة فقال إياك نعبد, أي نعبده بما وضع من هذه الأركان الثلاث.
And so after mentioning love, fear and hope, he went on to indicate the fact that these are the pillars of ibadah, and that is by saying إياك نعبد. And that is to say, prior to, or that which was mentioned previously, then these things are from the pillars of ibadah, and we worship you with them.
ثم بين شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى أن الله أمر جميع الناس بذلك وخلق جميع الناس لأجل ذلك.
Then Sheikh Islam Taymiyyah explains that Allah Azza wa Jalla has created all of mankind for that. All of them were created for this.
وأمرهم بذلك.
And he commanded them with it.
كما بينا ووضحنا فيما مضى من قوله عز وجل وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون, أي أن الحكمة من خلق الله الجن والإنس هو عبادة الله.
As we've mentioned previously, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal that indeed we did not create the jinn or mankind except to worship me. That is, the wisdom behind the establishment of ibadah, or the wisdom behind the creation of the creation, is the establishment of ibadah.
وبين أن معنى يعبدون أي يوحدون الله عز وجل, وهذا من كلام ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه.
And he has clarified the fact that the meaning of يوحدون, or the meaning of يعبدون, is يوحدون. The meaning of worship me, that is to single me out in worship.
قال وأعظم ما أمر الله عز وجل به من أمور العبادة هو التوحيد.
And he has mentioned that the greatest of the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded from the affairs of ibadah is tawheed.
والتوحيد كما عرفه قال إفراد الله بالعبادة.
And as he has defined, then tawheed is to single Allah Azza wa Jalla out with worship.
ومعلوم أن أقسام التوحيد ثلاثة, توحيد الربوبية والألوهية والأسماء والصفات.
And it is well known that the categories of tawheed are three. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the oneness of Allah in His Lordship, the oneness of Allah in the Ibadah, and the oneness of Allah in the attributes, or the names and the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
لكن كثير من أهل العلم إذا جاءوا إلى التوحيد عرفوه بالألوهية, لأن المعركة بين الأنبياء وبين أقوامهم وبين الرسل وأقوامهم إنما هي في إفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة, لأنهم مقرون بالربوبية.
But many of the people of knowledge, when they come to define Tawheed, they define it in accordance with what is connected to the affair of Uluhiyya, the affair of the Lord, of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal alone is to be worshipped. And that is because the ma'raka, or the battle and the war between the prophets and the messengers and their followers, revolved around singling Allah out in worship.
لذلك كان القرآن وكلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بل الرسل جميعا كثيرا ما يحتجون بما أقر أقوامهم من إيمانهم بالربوبية على إفراد الله عز وجل بالألوهية.
And for that reason you'll find that in many of the verses in the Quran that much and often do you see that the prophets and the messengers use the fact that their people had accepted and acknowledged the affair of Rububiyyah, acknowledged the affair of the Lordship of Allah, they use that to indicate the fact that they therefore should worship Allah Azza wa Jal. So they use Rububiyyah to indicate Uluhiyya and to call the people to Uluhiyya, that is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal.
وهذا ما يسمى بالعلاقة بين أنواع التوحيد الثلاث.
And this is what is known as the connection between the three types of tawheed.
فتوحيد الربوبية وتوحيد الأسماء والصفات يستلزم توحيد الألوهية، أي أن من أقر بهذين يجب عليه أن يقر بإفراد الله بالعبادة.
And that is because Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which is the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal in His Lordship, and the Tawheed of Asma'i wa Sifat, necessitates the third, which is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Ya'ni, whomsoever bears witness that Allah Azza wa Jal is the Lord and has the meanings of Lordship and has names and attributes, then it necessitates and it follows that Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah should be actualized by them.
ومثال ذلك في قوله سبحانه وتعالى في أول البقرة يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم لماذا نعبده الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون فاحتج بالربوبية التي منها الخلق على وجوب إفراد الله بالعبادة.
An example of that is in the beginnings of Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, O mankind, worship your Lord. Why should we worship Him? الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ The one who has created you and those who came before you, that you may receive piety. And so here Allah Azza wa Jal uses the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal created you and those who came before you as an evidence for the fact that you should worship Him.
ومن الأمثلة على أن توحيد الأسماء والصفات يستلزم منه إفراد الله عز وجل بالعبادة قوله في سورة يوسف يا صاحبي السجن أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار أي إن كنتم تؤمنون أن من أسماء الله الواحد القهار فيجب عليكم إفراده بالعبادة.
An example, that first example in Baqarah was an example of how Rububiyyah indicates Uluhiyya. But in the, an example of how the Asma'i wa Sifat indicate Uluhiyya likewise, that which occurs in Surah Yusuf, when Allah Azza wa Jal informed us of the affair of the statement of Yusuf when he was in the Sijin, when he was in prison, when he said, O companion of the Sijin, O companion of the jail cell, is one Lord, numerous Lords better, or Allah, Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar. And so here he referred to Allah Azza wa Jal by way of these names of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Wahid, yani the one and only, Al-Qahhar, yani the one who overpowers and overwhelms. And so here, the indication here is, if you believe that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one and only, if you believe that Allah is Al-Qahhar, then worship Him alone.
وعلى العكس من أقر وأفرد الله عز وجل بالعبادة فإنه ما أفرده بالعبادة إلا وهو يؤمن بالربوبية ويؤمن بأسماء الله عز وجل وصفاته.
And the opposite of that stands true, that is, if an individual singles Allah Azza wa Jal out in worship, and he actually worships Allah Azza wa Jal, then it follows that he believes in the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he believes in the asma'i wa sifat of Allah subhanahu.
فهذه هي العلاقة بين أقسام التوحيد الثلاثة.
So this is the connection then between the three categories of tawheed.
وممكن أن نضع من باب التسهيل في دائرة توحيد الربوبية والأسماء والصفات، في الدائرة الأخرى توحيد الألوهية، فمن الدائرة الأولى إلى الثانية هذه علاقة التزام، من الدائرة الثانية إلى الأولى هي علاقة تضمن.
And so we could, for example, make it clear by making or drawing two circles beside each other. Within the first circle, we have Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat. In the second circle, we have Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And so the connection of between the first circle, which is Rububiyyah and Asma'i wa-Sifat, and the second circle is the connection of Ilzam. That is, this first circle necessitates the second. This first circle necessitates the second. And the connection between the second circle and the first, so if you can imagine an arrow going from the first circle, which is Rububiyyah and Asma' al-Sifat, towards the second, and upon that we have an arrow indicating يعني استلزام or التزام or this or لزام, that this necessitates that. يعني أسماء وصفات ربوبية necessitates ألوهية. And then the connection between ألوهية and the first circle is that of تضمن, that ألوهية includes and comprises of ربوبية and أسماء وصفات. So if you look at those two circles in one direction, we have a connection and a relation of necessity, yani that one necessitates the other. Well, if you're looking at those circles in the other direction, from the uluhiya circle going and pointing towards the asma wa sifat circle and the rububiya circle, then that is a connection of tadammun, which is that uluhiya comprises rububiya and asma wa sifat. So whomsoever fulfills uluhiya, then by necessity he believes in Rububiyyah and Asma' wa Sifat. And whoever believes in whoever believes in Rububiyyah and Asma' wa Sifat, then that necessitates that he should therefore single Allah Azza wa Jal out in worship, Uluhiyyah. If that makes sense. Sa'ba hadhi ya
Shaykh. Na'tik kitab. وهناك نقطتان مهمتان في قضية تقسيم التوحيد إلى ثلاثة أقسام.
And there, again, we have another method or approach of categorizing tawheed into three categories.
النقطة الأولى أن الدليل على هذا التقسيم هو الاستقراء.
Or three points. Firstly, the evidence of this categorization is istiqra.
ومعنى الاستقراء أي أن أهل العلم نظروا في الكتاب ونظروا في سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فما وجدوا إلا هذه الثلاثة أقسام.
استقراء is that they have analyzed and looked at the book and the sunnah. They've had a comprehensive view of the book and the sunnah, and they have seen that we only have these three categories.
ويخطئ من يقول أن المسألة اصطلاح أو أنها اجتهاد.
And erroneous and upon error is the one who says that the affair returns back to ijtihad and is just some categorization that some of the scholars held based upon ijtihad.
وهم يقصدون بهذا أن يفتحوا المجال لهم لإدخال أنواع جديدة مثل توحيد الحاكمية فيكفرون به الناس.
نعم. And so what they intend by way of that is to open the door to another type of categorization which they will open, for example, the door of Tawheed al-Hakimiyya, and by way of it, they will make takfir of the people.
والنقطة الثانية في قضية هذا التقسيم هو أن أهل البدع يقولون أن أول من جاء بهذا التقسيم هو شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب.
And so another point is that the people of innovation, they say that the first person who has come with this taqseem and this categorization was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab.
وإن ارتفعوا قال أنه ابتدعه شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية.
And if they are bold enough, then they'll say it's something that was innovated by Sheikh Islam Taymiyyah.
وهذا لا شك أنه خطأ.
And this without doubt is an error.
فهذا التقسيم ذكره أئمة قبل شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية بقرون.
And that is because of the fact that the A'imma before Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, they explained that by centuries.
منهم القاضي أبو يوسف تلميذ أبي حنيفة.
From them القاضي أبو يوسف, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa.
ومنهم ابن بطة والطحاوي ابن مندة والتيمي.
Similarly ابن بطة, ابن مندة, الطحاوي, التيمي.
وغيرهم من العلماء ذكروا هذا التقسيم, فإذا هو ليس من البدع التي جاء بها ابن تيمية أو شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب.
And so many of them mention it. So it is not an innovation that was or that is considered a bid'ah that was brought by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab.
بل هو كما قلنا مأخوذ من القرآن ومن السنة.
But as we've said, it is taken from the Quran and from the Sunnah. This comprehensive view of the Quran, of the Sunnah. And that is where it is taken from.
وقال وأعظم ما نهى عنه الشرك, وهذا دليل على أن أعظم الذنوب كبرها هو الشرك بالله عز وجل.
And so he mentioned that the greatest thing that Allah عز وجل has prohibited is shirk.
وقد بينا لمن حضر في خطبة الجمعة كانت مقصودة كتمهيد لهذا الكتاب في بيان حقيقة الشرك وخطورته ومتى ظهر على هذه الأمة.
And so we explained in the khutbah, and the intent behind the khutbah was an introduction to our study of this book. And that is the mention of Tawheed and the mention of shirk and the dangers of shirk upon this ummah.
وفسر الشرك هنا بأنه دعوة غيره معه.
And shirk was explained here as being calling upon other than him alongside him.
وهذا نوع من أنواع الشرك, وإلا فإن الشرك على نوعين أكبر وأصغر.
And this is one of the types of shirk, but the reality is that shirk is of types, of two types, shirk akbar and shirk asghar, major shirk and minor shirk.
أما الشرك الأصغر فأفضل تعريف له ما عرفه به الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى بأنه كل وسيلة توصل إلى الشرك الأكبر.
And so the definition of shirk al-asghar, which and the best definition was given by Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir Sa'di, when he mentioned that shirk al-asghar or minor shirk is anything that leads to, or anything that is a wasila and a means or leads towards major shirk.
وذكر الدليل على ذلك وهو قوله اعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا.
And so he mentioned an evidence of that, and that is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, worship Allah and do not make shirk with him with anything.
ونلاحظ من هذه الآية وغيرها من الآيات أن الأمر بالتوحيد مقترن بالنهي عن الشرك.
And so we would, you know, should pay attention here that the command with tawheed is coupled with the prohibition against shirk.
وهو معنى لا إله إلا الله نفي وإثبات.
And it is the meaning of لا إله إلا الله, negation and affirmation.
وهذا يدل على أن التوحيد لا يصح إلا بالبراءة من الشرك وأهله.
And that indicates clearly that tawheed is not sound except by freeing oneself from shirk and its people.
وعلى المسلم أن يحذر من الشرك كبيره وصغيره.
And it is upon the Muslim to be aware of and cautious of and refrain from shirk, major or minor.
فالشرك سواء كان كبيرا أو صغيرا فذنبه أعظم من المعاصي.
And so shirk, whether it is major or minor, then it is
والله نسيت الشرك.
قلنا أن الشرك كبيره وصغيره على خطر عظيم وأنه أكبر من الذنوب.
نعم.
مهما كان صغيرا.
And so shirk, major or minor, regardless of whether it is major or minor, it is greater than sin. It is greater than ma'asi.
لذلك أهل العلم حتى في الشرك الأصغر قالوا, وهو الصحيح والذي رجحه شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, أنه من مات عليه فإنه لا يغفر.
And therefore أهل العلم, they mention, and from them شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, and it is what is most correct, is that minor shirk, whoever dies upon it, then he is not forgiven.
وليس معنى ذلك أنه خالد في النار, وهذا الفرق بين الأكبر والأصغر.
And that doesn't mean that he's in the hellfire forever. And this is the difference between major and minor shirk.
فالأكبر صاحبه مخلد في النار, وأما الأصغر فليس مخلدا في النار.
And so the one who commits major shirk, then the one who does so is in the hellfire forever, while the one who commits minor shirk, then he's not in the hellfire forever.
قالوا وهو الفرق بين الشرك الأصغر والكبائر, إذ إن الشرك الأصغر من مات عليه ولم يتب إنه يعاقب عليه, أما صاحب الكبيرة فتحت مشيئة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And this is the difference between minor shirk and the sins. That is, the one who dies upon minor shirk, then if he dies upon minor shirk without making tawbah, then he will be taken to account. While the one who dies upon sin, then he is تحت المشيئة. He's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If he dies upon sin and doesn't make tawbah. And so, upon sin. So the one who dies upon sin, then, the one who commits major sin, then if he dies upon that, doesn't make tawbah, then he's under the mashia of Allah, he's under the will of Allah. While the one who dies upon minor shirk and doesn't make tawbah, he's not under the mashia of Allah, he will be taken to account.
واستدل على ذلك بعموم قوله تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به, فأطلق لفظ الشرك هنا.
And they use as an evidence for that then the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that indeed Allah will not forgive that shirk is made with him. And so here Allah Azza wa Jalla used or made mention of the term shirk absolutely. And so they use that to broadly indicate major and minor shirk.
وبعض أهل العلم قال إن شرك الأصغر حاله حال كبائر الذنوب من حيث كونه تحت المشيئة, لكنه أعظم إثما من الكبائر.
While some of the people in knowledge, they say that the affair of shirk asghar is like major sin. That is, it is like sin in that the one who commits it is under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, but they say that it is greater than sin. It is greater than major sin. And so they still hold that he is under the mashia, under the will of Allah, but it is greater than sin.
ثم بدأ رحمه الله تعالى بعد ذلك ببيان الأصول الثلاثة.
And then after that he goes on to explain the أصول الثلاثة. نعم. So he mentions رحمه الله تعالى, فإذا قيل لك ما الأصول الثلاثة التي يجب على الإنسان معرفتها, فقل معرفة العبد ربه ودينه ونبيه محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so he mentioned, if it is said to you, what are the three principles that every person is obliged to know, then you should say in response, a servant is obliged to know his Lord, his religion, and his Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
بدأ رحمه الله تعالى ببيان الأصول الثلاثة التي هي مقصد تأليف هذا الكتاب.
And so he has begun with this point with the three fundamentals, which is the intent behind the authorship of the book.
قد بينا سابقا أن هذه الأصول الثلاث هي الأسئلة التي يسألها الملكان لكل ميت في قبره.
And we've mentioned previously that these three fundamentals, they are in essence the questions that the two angels will ask each individual in his grave.
وهي كذلك ما دل عليه الحديث الذي رواه مسلم بقوله عليه الصلاة والسلام من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا دخل الجنة.
And that is indicated similarly by the hadith that is established and authentic when the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whomsoever is pleased with Allah as his Lord and with Muhammad as his messenger and with Islam as his deen, Allah as his Lord, Islam as his deen, and Muhammad as his messenger ﷺ, then he will enter Jannah.
فقال رحمه الله فإن قيل لك فإذا قيل لك ما الأصول الثلاثة وهذا الأسلوب أسلوب السؤال والجواب أيضا من أساليب التعليم المهمة.
And so he begins by saying, if it is said to you, what are the three principles that every person should know? Here he mentions an usloob or a manner of speech and a manner of teaching, and that is the method of questions and answers. And this is from the methods of teaching that is beneficial and important.
وهذا كما جاء في حديث معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه في تعليم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم له حق الله وحق العباد قال يا معاذ أتدري ما حق الله على العباد وما حق العباد على الله ثم أجاب.
And that is just as it occurs in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had accompanied Mu'adh upon his riding beast and he began to ask Mu'adh some questions from them. Oh Mu'adh, do you know what the right of Allah is upon his servant, the right of the servant is upon Allah? Then he proceeded to answer.
فإن قيل لنا ما الأصول الثلاثة التي يجب أن نتعلمها فهي الأصول المشهورة وكلنا نعرفها وهي معرفة العبد ربه ودينه ونبيه محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونلاحظ هنا أنه قال رحمه الله تعالى معرفة العبد ربه، لماذا ما قال إلهه وقال ربه؟ لفظة الإله والرب أو الألوهية والربوبية من الألفاظ التي يقول أهل العلم أنها إذا اجتمعت افترقت في المعنى، وإذا افترقت اجتمعت في المعنى. الله يعينك على الترجمة.
لا عندي.
تمام.
Here he used the term معرفة الرب العبد ربا. Here he used the term that the servant should know his Lord. And the people of knowledge, they make mention of a point here, and that is that why did he mention Lord and not mention his ilah, his deity or his object of worship? And that is because of the fact that they mention a principle concerning the term Lord and deity, yani Rabb and Ilah. And that is, if the two of them come together in mention, then they are separated in meaning. And if they are separated in mention, they come together in meaning.
وبيان ذلك ومعناه أنه لو ذكر في موضع واحد الرب والإله، فالرب معناه صفات الربوبية، الخلق والرزق والملك، والإله معناه أنه المألوه الذي يفرد بالعبادة. لكن لو قلنا فقط الإله فيدخل فيه اعتقاد أن الله خالق ورازق، ويدخل فيه إفراد الله بالعبادة. وإذا قلنا رب مثل قوله هنا معرفة العبد ربه، ربه أن يدخل فيه كونه خالق ورازق وكونه أيضا إلها.
So that is to say, if we have for example the term رب being mentioned by itself, then the term when it is mentioned by itself, it carries the meaning of lordship, yani creation, of sustenance, and the meanings of lordship. But if the two of them are mentioned together in one place, then one of them, let me start that again. If the two of them are mentioned together, then Rab here has the meanings of lordship, while Ilah has the meanings of uluhiyah, yani worship and the object of worship. But if the two of them are mentioned separately, if they're mentioned separately, then the term Rab includes the meaning of Ilah. And the term Ilah includes the meaning of Rab. And so, again, the difference is whether they're mentioned together or mentioned separately. If they're mentioned separately, then one carries the meaning of the other. But if they're brought together and mentioned together at the same time, then Rab carries the meanings of creation, sustenance, while Ilah carries the meanings of the object of worship.
MashaAllah. وأمثلة من أمثلة ذلك لما نقول أقسام التوحيد ثلاثة ربوبية وألوهية فيكون الربوبية لها معنى خاص والألوهية لها معنى خاص لكن لما نذكر قوله عز وجل ولا يأمركم أن تتخذوا الملائكة والنبيين أربابا أربابا أي آلهة و معاني أيضا الربوبية.
And so, for example, when we mention Tawheed, when we mention Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, Rububiyya, Asma' al-Sifat, then they all have separate meanings. But, for example, when we look at the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal that He has not commanded you, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, He has not commanded you to take the Malaika as deities besides Allah, or as lords besides Allah. Or the Malaika and the Prophets as lords besides Allah. Here Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned Arbaba. But even though the term Arbab, which is the plural of Rabb, is mentioned, what is intended is not just the meanings of Rabb, but what is intended are the meanings of Rububiyya and Uluhiyya as deities and gods that are worshipped besides Allah, as lords besides Allah. So all of the meanings of Tawheed are mentioned, even though Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned here Rububiyya, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has not commanded you to take the Malaika and the Prophets as Arbaban min Dunillah. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla here commands or makes mention of Rububiyya, but what is intended are all of the categories of Tawheed.
ثم بدأ رحمه الله تعالى ببيان الأصل الأول من هذه الأصول الثلاثة. نعم.
Then he goes on to mention the first أصل from these ثلاثة أصول, and that is that he says, فإذا قيل لك من ربك فقل ربي الله الذي رباني وربى جميع العالمين بنعمته وهو معبودي وليس لي معبود سواه والدليل قوله تعالى الحمد لله رب العالمين وكل من سوى الله عالم وأنا واحد من ذلك العالم.
قال رحمه الله ترجم.
He said, and if it is said to you, who is your Lord? Then say, my Lord is Allah, who nurtured me, and He nurtured all of the creation with His bounty. He is the one I worship, and there is none worthy of my worship other than Him. The proof for this is the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Most High, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Everything other than Allah is creation, and I am one of that creation.
بدأ في بيان الأصل الأول وهو معرفة العبد ربه فقال فإذا قيل لك من ربك.
And so he began by mentioning the first أصل, the first fundamental, and that is that the servant knows his Lord. And so he begins by saying, if it is said to you, who is your Lord?
فتذكر أن من صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى أنه هو الذي رب العباد بنعمه الظاهرة والباطنة.
Then you should mention that from the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the characteristics of Allah is that He is the one that has nurtured the servants from His blessings and nurtured them from His blessings.
ولفظ الربوبية متضمن أو فيه معنى التربية كونه رب خالق رازق فهذه كلها من تربية الله عز وجل لعباده وخلقه.
And the term Rabb has in it the meanings of tarbiyah. That is, it has in it the meanings of the one who nurtures the creation. And so the meanings of tarbiyah are present within the term Rabb. In fact, tarbiyah is derived from it.
لذلك فإن التربيه من الله عز وجل لعباده على نوعين.
Therefore, the tarbiyah of Allah Azza wa Jal for His servants is of two types.
تربية عامة وهذا يدخل فيها الخلق كلهم من رزقهم وتدبيرهم.
We have the تربية العامة or the general تربية, and that enters or that comprises the whole of the creation. The whole of the creation fall under this general تربية.
والتربية الخاصة هي التي فيها معنى النصر والتأييد والحفظ, وهذه تكون لعباد الله أهل الإيمان.
And then we have the specific type of تربية, and that revolves around the meanings of the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal and the protection of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and that is for Allah's believing servants.
فمن تربية الله عز وجل لعباده هذه النعم التي لا تعد ولا تحصى, كما قال عز وجل وإن تعدوا نعمة الله لا تحصوها.
And from the تربية of Allah Azza wa Jal for His servants are these great many blessings that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us that we're not able to enumerate. Just as Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, and if you were to attempt to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to do so.
وقد ذكر الله عز وجل كثيرا من نعمه وآلائه في كتابه حتى عددها في سورة النحل, ومن كثرة تعداد النعم في سورة النحل سماها العلماء سورة النعم.
And so Allah Azza wa Jal has made mention in various places in the Quran of His blessings upon His servant, and the great many blessings that occur, for example, the mention of which occur, for example, in Surah An-Nahl. To the extent that Surah An-Nahl, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned so many of His blessings in Surah An-Nahl that the scholars have referred to it as Surah An-Ni'mah or Surah An-Ni'am, that is the Surah of Blessings.
ثم قال بعد ذلك وهو معبودي ليس لي معبود سواه, وهذا على ما ذكرنا حين قال من ربك, قال هو المعبود, ففسر الربوبية بالألوهية.
And so he said here that you should say that he is معبودي, he is my object of worship, and I have no object of worship, or there is none that I worship other than him. And this again returns back to the meanings of that which we mentioned previously when we discussed the affair of rububiyya, that the term rububiyya carries in it the meanings of uluhiyya. And so he mentions here, he is my object of worship, and I have no object of worship other than him.
والأدلة على ذلك كثيرة, منها قول الحمد لله رب العالمين, أي أن الله هو مربيهم وخالقهم ومالكهم والمدبر لشؤونهم.
And the evidences for that are many, like the statement of Allah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that is that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that nurtured them and the one that has created them and the one who arranges their affairs within the creation.
قال وكل ما سوى الله فهو عالم, أي كل ما سوى الله فهو مخلوق ومملوك لله عز وجل ومدبر من الله سبحانه وتعالى, وأنا واحد أي ونحن جميعا من هذا العالم وداخلون في تدبير الله وتربيته.
And so he said then, and everything other than Allah is considered creation, and I am one of that creation. That is, everything other than Allah Azza wa Jal falls under his tadbir, who falls under his arranging the affairs within the creation, and falls under his rububiyya Azza wa Jal. And so he mentioned here that I am one, or you should say that I am one of that alam, one of that creation. And so we round up then on that note for today's session. وجزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
الله أعلم, صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. واتبعوا ما تتلو الشياطين على ملك سليمان وما كفر سليمان ولكن الشياطين كفروا يعلمون الناس السحر وما أنزل على الملكين ببابل هاروت وماروت وما يعلمان من أحد حتى يقولا إنما نحن فتنة فلا تكفر فيتعلمون منهما ما يفرقون به بين المرء وزوجه وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله ويتعلمون ما يضرهم ولا ينفعهم ولقد علموا لمن اشتراه ما له في الآخرة من خلاق ولبئس ما شروا به أنفسهم لو كانوا يعلمون ولو أنهم آمنوا واتقوا لمثوبة من عند الله خير لو كانوا يعلمون.
الله
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقولوا راعنا وقولوا انظرنا واسمعوا وللكافرين عذاب أليم. ما يود الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب ولا المشركين أن ينزل عليكم من خير من ربكم والله يختص برحمته من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم.
الله
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما واخفض لهما جناح الذل من الرحمة وقل رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. ربكم أعلم بما في نفوسكم إن تكونوا صالحين فإنه كان للأوابين غفورا وآت ذا القربى حقه والمسكين وابن السبيل ولا تبذر تبذيرا إن المبذرين كانوا إخوان الشياطين وكان الشيطان لربه كفورا وإما تعرضن عنهم ابتغاء رحمة من ربك ترجوها فقل لهم قولا ميسورا ولا تجعل يدك مغلولة إلى عنقك ولا تبسطها كل البسط فتقعد ملوما محسورا إن ربك يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر إنه كان بعباده خبيرا بصيرا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق نحن نرزقهم وإياكم إن قتلهم كان خطأ كبيرا ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا ولا تقتلوا النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق ومن قتل مظلوما فقد جعلنا لوليه سلطانا فلا يسرف في القتل إنه كان منصورا الله ولا تقربوا مال اليتيم إلا بالتي هي أحسن حتى يبلغ أشده وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا وأوفوا الكيل إذا كلتم وزنوا بالقسطاس المستقيم ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها الله